Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number three on a Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman.
And I'm Captain Benny Hatton.
Our producer in the glass box.
Leslie T. Travis. Good morning.
The bird in the glass cage.
The pheasant under glass.
Yeah. What's up in there? Anything I need to know about?
No, not right now.
It's good,
moving right along, getting the podcast up, getting everything ready to go.
Well, cool. All right. Let's go down south, deep south. Now we're going down and talk to Captain Cliff Webb. Cliff, what is up?
Oh, good morning, Mickey, Benny. What's going on, guys?
Top of the morning to you, man.
I was sitting there listening to Plog about the weather, and it was so funny because I always get those quotes from Plog down here, you know, and this is one of the great ones. So this last winter we're fishing, the guys get in the boat, and they're complaining about the weather being too bad. It's just too cold, the weather's just too bad. And I remember one of the clients said, well, we were with James Plog one day, and he says, there ain't no bad weather, just bad equipment.
That's it.
Yeah, that's so true, too. You got these guys out there in the frog tog, you know, but dude. Frog tog's great, but it's not going to cut it here in 37 degrees, you know.
No, frog tog's a little thin for 37 degree weather, buddy.
But that's one of the great, great one-liners I get from you guys down here. You know, I get some good ones, you know. But it's all good, Mickey. We're catching fish. You know, our wade fish is so much better because these fish are just, man, they're just spotty, you know.
Yeah.
I had a couple of trips this week where I had two 36-inch drift anchors out trying to maintain, and you know, you hit a little pot of fish, you catch two or three, and you turn around, you catch one more in the same spot. When you know, if you were standing there, you'd catch 25, you know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what's going on now. These fish are suspended on these sand points and these big sand pockets. And, man, we got some stirred up water just like you guys do from the wind.
Right.
But our best bite has been coming on that XL Little John, the big one.
Yeah.
That bigger plastic.
Little John XL.
Yeah. It's a higher profile bait. It makes, you know, so you can see it better in dirty water.
Well, it's got a lot of scent in it. It's a lot more scented, too. You know, the bigger the bait, the more scent it puts out.
Right. And I like that blue moon, even in dirty water, because it's got that blue iridescent tint. And when you flip it in the sunlight, you can see it flash that blue underwater, kind of like a fish's side flashing.
Right.
And I'm putting on a live head and just working the heck out of it, especially standing there. I can stand there and work it, and you can throw it in the same place three times to catch a fish the fourth time. It's just nuts, you know. And that's what we've been doing. We're catching good fish. We're not catching monsters. We had a 6-pounder this week, but we're catching a lot more of those 18 to 22-inch fish.
Right.
Those 3-pounders. We're catching a lot more of those and just tons of redfish. But I think if the wind would ever die down, I could get to where I need to be. That's part of the problem.
Well, yeah, and then if you have to fish out of the boat, you can get on them and you know, stay on them better. You know, we were talking all about all that hull slapping and can't get the boat in position with the wind the way it is because you can't properly cast. You know, fan your cast, you got to throw down wind, you know.
I know. And I get this, too. I know you get this, too, is where you finally get into a little hot spot, you know, then you got, you know, you guys doing something else, drinking beer on the phone or something. You kind of drift through that spot, the 100 yards where the fish were. So, it's, you know, you got to come back around to get in that spot. So there's little sweet spots, and that's what's great about wading is when you get in those sweet spots, you're standing there on them, you're catching fish.
That's it. And, you can sit on them and be real stealthy about it and catch them.
I think about the old days where we had so many fish, you could put a sock out and drift and never turn around. But now you really pay attention. You really pay attention where you catch those fish and try to make short loops. But it's all good. The wind's going to quit sooner or later. But I'm catching a few fish in the surf already. Are you guys seeing some trout showing up in the surf?
I haven't heard about any. You know, I know they're catching some at rollover, you know, when it gets right. And I think behind this next norther here coming in this weekend, if we can get the wind to just, you know, even by Monday, it's going to be northwest. If that green water will roll in enough, I think it's getting time.
Yeah, it's been too much east the last couple of days, but early in the week, boy, I saw some guys in just free line and live shrimp off the jetties. After I get the boat, clean up the boat, everything, I'll take the dogs to the beach, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon and walk down those jetties and see what they're catching. And, before it was mostly just sheephead and drum, and now they're catching a lot of trout and redfish off the rocks, which is always a good sign for us. That means they're coming in, more and more fish are coming in. But, all's good here. We're just kind of waiting for that weather to get right. I got all these new lures I want to try from. I got that new bait from Jay that Mirror Lures making, that 7-dime. And man, I just can't wait to get the right weather to throw that around the rocks.
7-dime.
You're really gonna like that
name.
One, Mickey. You guys really throw those mirror lures. You and Plog and those guys, you guys have mastered the mirror lures. And I think that when you get your hands on this, it's gonna be wrong. I can't wait to get those things in your hand.
Boy, I tell you, we used to throw, man. I mean, that's all we ever threw. We didn't have all these tails and everything. I mean, we were old school. It was either a gold spoon or you were throwing a mirror lure. That's about all we had. We didn't even have any good topwaters back then. And
did you throw that 7 series a lot, that floater?
Oh, I used to live and die with it. It just it ruled my life for a long time. I had my days with it and I had bad days with it, I loved throwing that 7M, man.
I had a guy take me up a little skiff one day. I was a kid and those things first came out, and there's a spillway up here up in the Oso where the water comes out the Oso spillway, and those big trout get up in that white foam. And there's about 2 foot of white foam in the water. And he said, "We're going to throw this floating mirror lure up in that foam." I says, "What? I ain't going to throw it float." We throw it up in the foam, and you couldn't see the strike. All you see is the big hole in the foam when the fish hit it. It was cool, man. It was just so cool, man.
Hey, and that's what turns your line all brown from that foam and everything?
Oh, yeah. It was nasty. Yeah. But the fish were big. We didn't care, I think we waited to like 2 foot of mud for a half a mile to get there. But, When you're young, that ain't no big deal.
Boy, tell Simon Cosper about that. He'll be up there catching stripers out of that foam, man. He knows all about that. He's a man on that kind of stuff.
And I've never seen that where you catch a fish and it blows the foam out of the water. When
that's
you catch
pretty
one.
Cool.
That was neat. But, I know if you guys just got tons of bait coming in. We got tons of shad and finally getting the glass mill and stuff coming to Laguna Monterey. But, boy, it's been slow. Our water just hovering at 70, just goes to 70, goes under 70, gets back to 71. And if we can just get a couple of weeks to keep it in the mid-70s, it's going to make a big difference, Mickey.
Yeah, that shad down by our passes and everything is starting to pour in here, too. Same thing.
See them come to the
sounds like
crazy.
It's doing the same thing over in Louisiana, too, from the guys I know over there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They got a big fishing tournament down in Mansfield today. And I think it started yesterday. The Legends Tournament.
Yesterday. Bob
Fustin.
Fustin? Oh, Fustin. Red Bandana. Yeah. My old buddy Bob.
Red Bandana. You remember him, Mickey?
Rhonda and I and Mickey Ray, when he was a little kid, we'd go down there and stay at Mansfield and wade fish with Captain Bob. And I just loved him. They were such good people.
He was awesome.
He was a good man.
Yeah, he had that red. Did you hear the story about the Red Bandana when he quit fishing? They took his red bandana and nailed it to one of the channel markers on the coastal reef. Fish a lot. They nailed that red bandana, and it stayed there for years. That red bandana on that marker from Houston, And I was hoping someone would put it down, take it down, and put it in the shadow box somewhere or something. I don't know what happened to it, but yeah, when he came out with that Mansfield Mauler, that was a game changer down here for drift fish.
I've got a whole drawer full of those. He gave me the good old Bob Fustin red bandanas he had the ones with the American flag stars and stripes on them too. I'd wear them, around my neck in the summertime, kind of to collect sweat and keep the sun off the back of your neck if you were wearing a t-shirt. And he always wore his around his head. He always had that beard and everything. He had that Willie Nelson look working, man. He was something else, man. Waded barefooted, every flat in that bay, waded every inch of it barefoot.
Mm-hmm. And he fished that cork in knee-deep water, Mickey. He fished that cork with a short leader in knee-deep water and catched the crack out of those fish. It was just amazing.
Mansfield Mauler. He was the Mauler man.
Mansfield Mauler, man. We first took him to Bath, and I'm drifting across the Badlands there many years ago, and those fish were eating the corks. It was so cool. We pop it, and all of a sudden one would just eat the cork and all. Boom, eat it. And yeah, you'd come back and the wire would be all bent up and stuff. You had to take the pliers and straighten the wire. And sometimes the hook would get the fish somewhere in the body, like the belly.
Well, remember later on he started putting a stinger hook on that the bottom of those corks. And sometimes you'd catch two fish, you'd pop that little old mauler and you'd get a blow up and they'd eat the cork, and then while you were reeling that fish in, another fish would eat the tail underneath it. It's pretty good stuff.
He made that to keep the people from, you know, out of the grass, keep the fish, the bait in the strike zone. Well, we didn't realize, but you talk about great around the rocks and bathing, because you could throw it around the edge of the rock and keep it right there in the strike zone instead of reeling it back all the time. And, boy, you pop it a couple of times next to one of those rocks, and usually something's going to eat it. It's pretty cool. And I know you chase many of those Mansfield mullet around the bay with the fish on them, too. We see a couple large carcasses. we got to see what's on that thing, you know.
Yeah, it is. We went down there to shoot a TV show for Texas Fisherman Magazine. Remember when I had that TV show? I forget, the regular host couldn't shoot it, and they sent Neil McKinney. Remember him when he was with Berkeley?
Oh, yeah. I know Neil, yeah.
So me and Blaine go down there. It's Doug Bird and Captain Bob, me, Blaine, Neil McKinney, and we're riding around out there, and Bob's standing on the console, and he's looking in, and man, we keep driving by the shoreline, and when we go by it, slicks are just bleeding off of it. Me and Blaine are sitting there. We're ready to dive out of the boat at 50 miles an hour to get on them slicks. Well, he'd drive by that and go back and wander around down the intercoastal again. He'd come back through there, and I said, Bob, what about them slicks in there? I don't know, man. That's probably rays in there doing that. I said, well, why don't you drop me and Blaine out? I don't know what you're looking for out here. He was trying to find a big herd of reds. But I said, while till y'all find what you're looking for, drop me and Blaine out. We'll do a guinea pig wade down the shoreline. But we get in there, and Bird's in his boat, and he's got the camera crew in it and stuff. And Neil McKinney decided, well, I'm going to wade with Mickey and Blaine. Well, Bob stayed with the boat. We get out, and he said, throw a weedless spoon and all this junk. I made about 10 casts. Well, I said, man, I'm in fish. I put a bone jumping minnow on. That's when they first came out. Nobody knew about it. And I could not get the fish off of it. I mean, I rolled up about an 8-pound trout and started catching reds with it. And it was on like a neck bone. And I'll never forget that. He said, boy, I wish I'd have brought some maulers today. You guys would really be tearing them up. He was giving us hell about it. We lit those fish up. We shot a good show. It was awesome. And that was after that big – that was in 90 or 91. Uh-huh. It was right after the freeze, and when just about all the fish were dead. But, we caught some beauties that day. Golly.
Were you able to get out and wade with those guys on that bill?
Well, that's what we were doing, yeah. We got out and started wading.
Well, I mean, but you were doing it with the camera crew. Did they get out there and get in
no,
that stuff?
No, Doug kept them close to us with the camera. Out of his boat. And Doug actually caught two or three pretty good fish out of the boat while he had the camera crew with him. We had a great time. Him and Fran, they were great hosts, and we'd go down there and stay with them. It was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, we used to, you know, it's so funny because I know you did a lot of those TV shows, we did a lot of those shows. It's just so nerve-wracking because, you know, you're really under the pressure. They got so much involved in trying to produce that show and what you got to produce. You know, thank God we're not doing them now, Mickey. Be a little tougher, buddy.
I'm glad I'm not. Hey, hang on. Let me do a quick commercial break before it gets real tough around here. Hang on, man.
Okay.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 620 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back to Cliff. Cliff Webb. I hit the wrong button a while ago when I went to break.
That's all right.
I've dumped Cliff Webb. Just dumped him off, man.
It's all right, man. Hey, you were talking about those jumping minnows and how much – just think how much fun we had when those things first come out.
Oh,
you know, and,
my goodness.
and the top dog, you know, I took those top dogs to Mexico and those chopamentos and fish with Chicano down there.
Right.
And by the way, he passed away the other day.
That's what you told me, old Chicano's gone, man.
It was so funny because all of Mexico knew it. That's how popular the guy was. The guy that told me, Tony Rekowich, was from Cabo San Lucas. He came down to fish with me, and he heard about it all the way from Cabo.
Wow.
You know, all the way to Puerto Vallarta's where he lives. So it was pretty incredible. But, you know, I brought a whole bunch of those top dogs and jumpamentos down there to catch those rooster fish on, because Chicano would troll down the bank and throw those little green eyes up against the bank and on spinning rods, and those rooster fish would jump on them. And I got up on the bow of the boat and threw that top dog out there, and he caught those rooster fish on him. He just went ballistic. Here the guy's catching 1,000-pound marlin. He tried to take the rod away from me, you know. It's just hilarious.
I'll never forget
him calling him Leaping Minnows. He said,
Leaping Minnows.
I'll never forget that, Mickey, as long as I live. He goes, I tell you what, Cliff, you're not leaving Mexico with those Leaping Minnows. They're mine.
Hey, that's what that guy in Canada I was fishing with up there at Lake of the Woods that time when I was catching all those big northern pike. We got there on the ice out, and you know, when we flew in, all the lakes were frozen, but they were black, and you knew they were going to thaw out any day or any hour. And we started out the first day just fishing pockets that were open. Hey, those fish there, buddy, when that ice melts, they go straight to the bank and ready to spawn. And we're throwing spinner baits and all the stuff, you know, they told us to get and bring. And I just happened to put some straight back blue and chrome red fins in the box. I used to never leave home without them. And I started throwing those up against the bank and jigging them and doing all that dye dipping stuff like we'd catch trout on them here. Buddy, the size of the northerns doubled and tripled. And that guy, he didn't know that I was a pro or anything. I went with a couple of my customers, and he told the guy that ran the lodge, he said, you know, he talked with that Newfoundland accent. He was from Newfoundland.
Yeah.
And he said that big guy over there, he throws his lure. It goes all the way across the lake, and every time it comes back, it has a fish on it. That's what he was telling that guy. And, hey, they wouldn't let me leave with those baits. I had to leave all those lures to them, man. They said, you're not leaving with those. We got to have them. So I left them.
Oh,
I said, well, there's your tip, man. You can have all my trout fishing tackle.
Yeah, that's funny. The first time I met Paul Brown, he was with Doug Bird, and this is right when they started Corky's. I mean,
right.
The only colors that Paul had was root beer and red.
Yeah, I had the strawberry and the root beer. That was it.
And I was just having to pull into Bird Island at the same time. This is back in the 80s, and I pull into Bird Island the same time that Doug and Paul had pulled up. And they showed me these corkies, and it looked like you put them in a meat grinder. They were just chewed up, holes all in them. They had this giant box of fish. And I hear Doug put his arm around Paul and says, "And you're not leaving Bird Island with those corkies." This is, I want all of them. he made poor old Paul go through his tackle box to get all those corkies. You think Doug could give me one? Heck no. Paul gave me one, you know. But Doug was hoarding those corkies. He wouldn't even give me the banky.
Well, I guarantee you too, man. I remember when David Faust and Joe Petty came fishing with me one time. We were in East Bay. We were waiting the north end up there. And they said, man, we got a hot new topwater we just found out about. We brought you one. And it was a bone-jumping minnow. And we tied those things on and got out of the boat, and it was like bombs going off. I said, I am not believing this. And, buddy, it was just – and the only ones that's only store that stocked them around here was Bass and Bay Sporting Goods. And a good customer of mine, old Raz, he'd go by there every week before he came down to his bay house next to me, and he'd buy dozens of them, buy them in the cardboard boxes full. That guy said, man, what are you doing with all them jumping minnows? He said, man, we're making sandwiches out of them. Hey, back then, you know, our land wasn't any good, and we were breaking them off. You'd get those big fish. We had so many big fish. And when you're handing them out to customers, you're breaking off, you know, 6, 8, 10 minnows a day. And those things were, man, they were like, you had to treasure them. They were hard to find.
I in the bag, and I would get them at the end of the day, and they'd have all the paint knocked off, big scars, big holes in them, and we'd try to either bend the hooks back or change the hooks. We set the marine, everybody left. We'd get a box of hook and change all the hooks out of them because the hooks were just, you know, tore up from taking them out of redfish's mouth and stuff. But the thing about those things is the fish would push them away from them. They were light, and a big trout would come up and push water in front and miss it the first time. And if you left it there and just twitch it, it'd take about two or three times for it to hit it, you know, to actually eat it sometimes. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, they'd wake up on it, you know, the big trout and the redfish, and it was like the bait was surfing the wake they were pushing. Yeah. And it'd make that fish get even that much more excited about it. It looked so natural to them, and they would just, man, they would just pulverize that thing.
Yeah, you know, like I said, one of the biggest fish I've ever seen. You had one sideways in her mouth, you know, greyhounding out there. And I'll never forget that bait sideways in that fish's mouth and had her mouth pried open. And she's trying to get rid of it. She's just doing that foam shake where it's just white foam all around you. You're trying to get a hold of her, and there's no way to get a hold of this fish. And then, of course, she just smokes it out, and I lose the fish. But, yeah, you know, I just remember some of the great violent head shakes with those topwaters when they get them sideways in their mouth or maybe up under their chin or something. You know, that's what's so fun about fishing those things is seeing those fish just go ballistic when they hit them.
Yeah, with the jumping minnows and the mirror lures, man, we used to call that harmonica mouth because you'd
harmonica
mouth, man. Them big old trout would come out there shaking, trying to get that mirror lure out of his mouth, and it would be sideways in there, and it looked like he was playing a harmonica. And
that's good stuff, man.
And Blaine had a big fish on one day. We were fishing the Seabrook Flats. We went over there, and he hooks this trout, and I don't even know how big it was, but I'll just tell you this. That 51M orange mirror lure looked like a Cheeto in the corner of that fish's mouth. That's how big that trout was. It looked like a Cheeto. And now, that's big when the fish dwarfs a bait like that. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. That fish started that greyhound and running away and spooling Blaine and come unbuttoned. That was the end of it.
Those are the ones you always remember, too. You know,
I'm telling you.
Go, man, how big was that fish? Golly.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Harmonica mouth.
Well, I'm ready for a harmonica mouth right now, one with the Cheeto in his mouth, Bubba. I need one, man.
Boy, God. I do too, man. I'm so sick of catching pencils. You know, I'm still catching fish. I'm not going to complain. I'm catching fish. But I just, you know, I'm ready to catch some quality fish. I had to go to Fayette County and bass fish with Bob Green to catch some quality fish.
You've been bass fishing quite a bit. You liking that or what?
I love it, man. I was just I just live too far from all the lakes.
Well, you need to come up to Lake El Salto with me in Mexico. I got a spot for you.
Boy, that is a bucket list deal, man. I'd love to go do that. I love catching them old pickle fish, man.
Yeah, I've been there several times. That place is unbelievable.
We'll have to do that.
Kind of like high fence for bass. It's just too cool, man.
Yeah, buddy, high fence for bass. Now you're talking.
They feed them tilapia. They feed them tilapia. I mean, that's a big fish when you dump 50,000 tilapia in the lake to feed them.
Yeah,
a couple times a week. You know, well, that's amazing.
That's good protein. That's why they get so big, man. Eating that. Hope those tilapia are from China, though. Sewage fish. Yeah.
I'd rather eat them, not me.
I heard that. All right, man. Well, hey, if somebody wants to come down and hook up with you, Cliff, how do they do it? Give them a number, bud.
All right, Mickey, I'm at area code 361-949-0707. Hey, appreciate you guys having me on. Thanks, man.
All right, brother. Good
thanks,
talking
Cliff.
To you. Have a good weekend, Cliff.
Okay.
See you, man.
All right, thanks, Mickey, Benny. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, buddy. All right, let's run over to Hackberry Rod and Gun. Man, I've been trying to get hold of this guy forever. Kirk Stanzel, my man.
What's going on, Mickey?
What is up?
Well, the wind.
You're kidding. It's been dead calm over here every day.
I know better than that.
Not. Sounds good.
I'd like to hear it. No kidding. Yeah. You know, same old song and dance over here.
Fighting the elements.
Freshwater wind, tough bite.
Well, we've been on a roll for the last 4 years, haven't we, man? Your backyard, mine, I mean, all of us, we've been messed up for a while, man.
Oh, yeah, you know, and I talked to Don Duke this morning out of New Orleans, you know, that radio show over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to say, all the way to the east side of Louisiana, same thing, just tough, tough bite.
Right.
Fresh water and winds, and we're catching a handful of reds and flounder and an occasional trout. It is as tough as I've seen it.
Right. I hate to hear that.
Oh yeah. I mean, we still have fresh water, but on the high tides, the last 2 days, the green water has come up about as far as the washout.
Oh, so, cool.
Look it up.
Things are looking up. You bet you.
Yeah, you know, when you get when those low tides at night, boom. You know, just the fresh water takes it back over, and
And these darn fronts too. You know, these darn fronts are pushing it all over the place too when they hit.
Oh yeah, it just but you know, I'm looking at the long range forecast. Looks like this week the winds are going to be down.
Yeah.
I hope the weather guessers are right.
I hope so too. I think we're still going to have a northwest wind on Monday, but on in a week, it just, you know, Tuesday, it looks good, but it could be northeast at 25, you know, behind the front, you know, how that high pressure slides, and it's just, you know, you just got to play it day by day, you know, figure out where you're going to go.
It's been a grind this spring. I mean, you know, last spring, at least we had, you know, we had a little, about a 6 week period there, March, early April, where we, you know, had some good water and caught fish, but not this year. It just has not been any good water at all. We had about a week in between those rains where it salted up a little bit.
Yeah.
And we caught a few trout. Other than that, it's just been a grind.
Yeah, our best fishing, you know, this spring for us was January, February, and those first couple of weeks of March. And then, man, here come the floods again, and boy, everything changed.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it doesn't help, you know, not have any bait. We had 2 days our bait stand had some bait, and we caught the fishing picked up. It wasn't great by any means, but you know, the catch picked up.
Right.
It's one of those springs. You know, golly, I hate it.
Well, maybe it'll make for a better summer. We can't do anything about
it. Yeah, that's right. You know, if we can, it should get better as long as we don't get any more flooding. It's going to get better. Not sure it's going to. We were warmer in March than we are in April.
Year. I'm telling you. Everybody froze to death on the water yesterday. That east wind cut them in half, man.
Yeah, it won't warm up. We got a good, brisk east wind this morning, too.
Same here.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that front will come through and lay things out, and these fronts will quit being so frequent. You know, that's what's killing us. You know, you get the suck and blow going. You know, you get the southerly flow ahead of the front, and then you get the front, and then the wind just never lays down. It just switches directions. That's it.
Yeah, that's all.
Well, I had to check in with you this morning and see how things were going on over there, and
we still have a pulse.
That's good. That's all that matters. We will live to fish another day. So, you know, maybe with the tough conditions the way it is, and, you know, it'll make up for it in the summer. Usually, you know, you lose one, you sacrifice one to have another. So,
yeah, that's the way it happens a lot. You know, of course, last year was a different creature altogether. I wish I knew something else to say.
Well, hey, I understand thoroughly, man. It's, you know, it's that way all up and down the coast. Right now we got east and southeast, 20 to 23, 25. It's blowing pretty good over here this morning now, too. So,
yeah.
All right, Kirk. Well, I wanted to check in, see what was up over at Hackberry, and y'all hang in there. It's, one thing about it with these northers.
It's got to get better.
It's got to get better. Can't get no worse.
That's right. Hey, Benny, I heard you, Benny.
Yeah. How you doing, Kirk?
Great. How are you?
No, I'm doing fine. Doing fine. How's traffic over there?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's a zoo, man.
No, it's unbelievable. I think I'd rather drive in Houston than drive over here right now.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
You're right. I
wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. All right, man. We'll put them a number and a web address out, brother.
All right. It's 888-762-3391. HackberryRodAndGunSpellOutAnd.com.
All right. Kirk, y'all have a good one. Tell everybody hello. We'll be talking to you, man. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Final segment. Where did the day go? We just got here, Benny.
Yes, we did.
Lordy. All right, let's go up to the Big Sam. Let's talk to Randy Dearman, see what's up with him. Randy, what's going on, man?
Hey, Mickey, how you doing there this morning?
Oh, I'm hanging in here. What's up with you, bud?
I'm just kind of laying back this morning.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure you're not out on the lake this weekend.
They got that big bass splash going on, you know, and I fished yesterday. It's a three-day deal, you know, and these people, they caught some fish. I'm telling you now, there was a 12-something caught, I think a 10 and several nines. I don't know how they caught them, but I mean, we kind of struggled yesterday. We caught bass, but the biggest one we have was about 4 pounds. And then I hear the weight that they had is kind of scary.
Well, of course, when you got that many people, somebody's going to catch a big one, you know?
Yeah, you put that many people out there, you know, somebody's going to – and what's really strange, you know, that – when they have these deals every year, you never know how he's going to be caught, the biggest one. I mean, it could be caught in 30 foot of water. He could be caught in a foot and a half of water.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you got to have a little lady luck with you on those deals.
I'm telling you, and did that wind blow up there yesterday?
The wind blew pretty good, Nicky. It wasn't, you know, I mean, you could still, you know, get around, but it was blowing pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the wind. I'm tired of being cold in the morning. When it's in the 40s in the morning, I don't like to get in that boat.
I know it. Same
here. We're going to start our crappie trips back up Monday, and, you know, the lake's finally, they've been letting a lot of water out, and as that water drops, them crappie start moving out there and get on them deep tops. So.
Right.
Everything ought to be good for it.
Yeah, it's fixing to get that time of year for you. And, you know, people don't realize that crappie bite in Rayburn, it lasts all summer long. It's good.
Oh, yeah. We caught them last year plumb up in October and first part of November. We were still, you know, catching limits of fish every time we'd go.
Wow.
And there's nothing better than a good blade of crappie.
No, that's hard to beat, ain't it?
I guarantee you.
Well,
you know, it's an easy deal too. You know, that spot lock trolling motor. You know, you just get right over the brush there and push the button, and you're locked down, and you just drop straight down over the pile. Usually the crappie are up on, most of the time, they're up on top of the pile. So we might be fishing in 25 to 35 foot of water, but usually our brush, it comes up, you know, 15, 18 foot, and then fish usually are down, you know, 12, 14 foot, where you catch them on top of the stuff.
Yeah. Y'all pile that brush up that deep, huh?
Yeah, Mickey, it seems like, you know, the more brush there is, and then, you know, the more fish get on it, so.
Cover. Got to have that cover, man, especially out in that deep open water like that. What do you mostly use? What do y'all drop down on top of them? Do you use a lot of jigs, or do you tip them with minnows, or how do you do that?
Generally, you know, with our you know, parties, we fish mostly with, you know, live minnows. I mean, you can catch them on jigs, but it's just easier and almost guaranteed that, you know, they're going to catch them with those minnows. And, you know, Mickey, it's the more minnows that are dropped over, the faster they bite. Seems
it
like
gets
you get
them going.
A frenzy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easier to catch, you know, 200 than it is 100 fish. In other words, when you got four people, you can't keep but 100 crappie. But if you got eight, you can keep 200. It seems like the more minnows that are dropped over in there, the better they bite.
Yeah, it's like a school of bait, dropping down on them every time.
Yeah.
I got you. Well, I wanted to check in, man, see what was going on up there, and
Well, I'm just hiding out today. I went out there and yesterday we didn't even launch our boat yesterday till 8 o'clock because I knew it was going to be all the boat ramps. I mean, there was people parked on the roads and everything, and we waited and let them get out of the way, and then we eased down there and dropped in. Had to walk a little ways to get
back to the boat.
But I didn't want to be there fighting, you know. And there is some sights at the boat ramp. Now, you talk about a good video.
You don't have to tell me nothing, brother. look like the launch at Trinity Bay on a good trout run, man, when the birds start working. You see all kinds.
I don't know how much rain we're going to get.
Well, we don't know yet. It's one of them wait and see deals to see whether it slides more to the north and to the east, or it comes all the way down to the coast. We're just going to have to wait and see what that front does.
Yeah.
All that moisture.
I just knew it was supposed to rain possibly today and tomorrow. I said, that's fine with me. Let them guys stay out there in it. I'm going to just take cover and wait till they get out of the way and get back out there and enjoy life.
Duck and cover.
Catch a bunch of fish.
You got it, Randy. All right, man. Well, hey, somebody wants to call you about coming up and doing one of them big crappie trips. How do they get a hold of you, man?
936-328-0864.
Randy, always a pleasure. Have a good weekend.
Y'all have a good one.
We're going to do it. See you, man. Thank you, Randy. All right, take care. All right, that's Randy Dearman up on the Big Sam. Now we're going to go to Will Kirkpatrick on the Big Sam. Will, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, he was right. He didn't want to be on the ramps early in the morning.
No, he went in behind everybody yesterday.
Yeah. They started, I woke up at 5:30, and they were already going.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting. He's talking about minnows. I found that picture I was telling you about, that little 4-year-old girl.
Yeah, what's the name of that lake over there?
Natchitoches.
Natchitoches, yeah, in Nacogdoches County.
You're right. And it's only, I think, now, normally I think it's, I don't know, 750, 800 acres. It's not that big.
Right.
And, you know, there's houses around it, and they got boat docks and. But this little girl's out there with a minnow, and it's a good picture. I'll put it in an envelope and send it to you. But I know a guy that lives over there, and he called me, and he was telling me that the fish got, now this fish weighed 14.5 pounds.
Lord have mercy.
And she's 4 years old, and she's got a little Zebco. And the fish got up underneath the dock, so her dad just took his wallet out and proceeded to walk out in the water and get it underneath her and get the fish loose. And once he got it loose, why, then she could work with it a little bit. He got up there and helped her. They took the picture, and they turned it loose.
Wow.
Now, you know, 4-year-old girl catching a 14-pound bass.
On a minnow.
And then turning it loose, you know.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
That's a big old bass.
It's really a neat picture. I'll send it to you. The biggest fish here, I don't know if Randy told me or not, was a little over 12 pounds yesterday.
Yeah.
But, Mickey, everything is going, you know, you and I have been talking about this all spring long. Nobody wanted to listen. These fish are just now going on and coming off some of the beds.
Right.
They've got two gates open. I just called them this morning. They got two gates open, 20 foot. That's just wide open. They're generating. So what they're doing is they're pulling about 2.5 inches a day out of the lake. And they're doing that because, you know, they're anticipating some more water.
Right.
We were supposed to be in a drought, and this is a kind of a different drought. But by pulling that water out, you know, we talk about the fish, all bass always go shallow on a warm rise. Well, the big fish always come off when they're pulling water down. You know, that's the first fish, big fish to come off. So you know, the lake was just over 3 foot above pool. Now it's just over, still just over, not quite 3 foot above pool.
Okay, so it's still
good. So all them big fish that were out there in shallow water are coming out. And that's where everybody likes to fish. You know, nobody likes to fish, or very few like to fish in deep water.
Right.
You know, everybody wants something to throw at. So, you know, everything just came together.
Yeah, it did.
But they had everybody I've talked to up here, you know, all the lakes around here. And I've got some guys, they fish Nacogdoches, they fish Lake Nacogdoches, they fish Raven. And everybody's catching good fish.
Yeah.
And it'll last, you know, another 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, that's, you know, we had a good hard winter and late spring. And, hey, it's these fish, they're going to do it when they're ready. They're going to do it on their terms, not ours.
Well, just, if you listen to what the fish will tell you,
yes,
they'll tell you exactly what they want. You know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we were still catching basically all males up shallow.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you the females haven't come in yet.
That's right.
And, you know, that's all over the country. I told you, we talked the other day that Billy Murray up there on Ouachita, all the decent fish they're catching are just coming into the back of the coves.
Yep.
And normally, you know, they've got spots, they got smallmouth, they got largemouth up there. And so they got everything coming in.
So awesome.
It's kind of like your trip to Fayette County. He just sits up there and catches fish.
Yeah.
Nobody else on the water.
That's it, man. All right, Will. Well, I'm glad I got a hold of you this morning, bud. Hey, throw your number out. Somebody wants to call you. You still got a couple of units left, don't you?
Right. We got
a 9 and a 12.
And a 9. The what do they call the new board?
The new carbon screen.
Carbon board, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
And the price is right. So
yes, it is.
409-584-3177.
All right, Will.
And I haven't heard of any big wrecks yet, but, you know, they were running before daylight this morning, and I'll guarantee you there was a lot of them with no lights on.
No, I know. Mm-hmm. There always is. All right, brother. Well, Will,
take care,
hang
of
in there, duck and cover. All right, man. See you.
Bye.
All right, that's all the time we have today, but we'll be back here bright and early on Open Line Fun Sunday tomorrow at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.